In Florida, we have a place for you. Not only do we understand your aspirations, we're ready for them. For all the amazing things your future holds, we hold the key. Florida, the future is here.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. So Samsung is hoping you're not still thinking about that whole Galaxy Note 7 fiasco combustion thing that shook the smartphone space last year. It decided to pull out all the stops with the new Galaxy Note 8 as Samsung Mobile Chief DJ Ko hammered home the internal message to engineers not to hold back. And here we are this week with the new Samsung Galaxy Note 8. It's showcasing several tech advances, but is it enough to overcome the fallout from last year's disaster, as well as compete with the impending and highly anticipated 10th anniversary iPhone? Let's get a little bit more. Joining us is one of the editors in the journal's tech bureau, Brian Fitzgerald. Welcome back.
Hi, Tanya.
Phone makers always have a lot to prove with their latest phone. Samsung has to prove itself exponentially after the combustible Note 7 disaster. So how has the recall shaped Samsung's approach to innovation, namely with this new device?
Yeah, you put that well. I think, you know, it really was an inflection point for the company, and it's one where they could have sort of cowered and went down a totally safe route, afraid to make any big changes, terrified about what innovation might do, or they could go down the road that they went down, which, according to the company's mobile chief, which was, if we don't innovate, if we stop innovating, we die. And DJ Ko, he told us, that Samsung's mobile chief, he told us that that was his message to the innovators. Don't hold back. And so that's what the company did. And at the same time, you know, they initiated a bunch of changes in order to make sure that their phones don't, you know, the next Note doesn't explode, right? So
that's probably high on the to-do list, I would imagine.
Right. So like an 8-point battery check and some more safety measures, brackets around the around the battery, stuff like that, a smaller battery.
That was
starters.
Key, right? Yeah. I understand that was the smaller battery was essential in ensuring mm-hmm. that everything goes smoothly on mm-hmm. the combustible front.
That's right.
On the technical front, though, we have the curvier screen. That's the big deal. But the mm-hmm. key feature I'm gathering is proving to be that dual camera because, you know, it's not first with it, but it mm-hmm. seems to have gone a little further with it.
Yeah, well, you know, it certainly allows them to go toe-to-toe with the best iPhone that's out there right now. You know, and with the 10th anniversary iPhone coming down, the Pike, you know that's coming. I bet the farm on it. An announcement's coming next month in September. You know, Samsung really needs to sort of catch up on whichever features it happens to be lacking or falling behind on. And the camera's such a big deal for smartphones. You always see these specs, Tanya, for smartphones. And it's like, we have Qualcomm Snapdragon, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
chip.
It sounds impressive.
And like, I don't know what that means, but exactly. I know my camera and I know what the pictures look like. So that's one of those, the camera is one of those areas that kind of moves the needle. That was an important one for Samsung to sort of catch up on with the dual lens. And so they've done that, and at least it puts them on par with the iPhone 7s of today. Now, what the next round of iPhones will look like, you know, we don't know yet.
We're speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Brian Fitzgerald about Samsung's new Galaxy Note 8 phone. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
We know you well. You who became a multimillionaire at 43 and you who was born one. We know you who loses sleep over how your kids will deal with inheriting a fortune. And you no longer getting a paycheck but not needing one either. And also you who doesn't have to work but can't help not to. You serial entrepreneur, you. At BNY Mellon Wealth Management, we know because we know you well. And that gives us the necessary insight to help you grow, protect, and transfer your wealth. BNY Mellon is the corporate brand of the Bank of New York Mellon Corporation and its subsidiaries.
Thanks for joining us. So, Brian, there's always a lot of comparisons to be made among smartphone makers. As far as innovation goes, we were just speaking about Samsung's very distinct approach. You look at its main contender, that is Apple, which is coming out any moment with its highly anticipated 10th anniversary iPhone. How does Samsung's approach compare to Apple's in general?
Sure. No, it's a good question. You know, and I think Samsung has lived by trying to be first on a lot of features. I mean, if you go back in history and look at a Galaxy versus an iPhone. You know, the Galaxy has been first with a lot of the things that we think are central to phones today. First with the bigger screen, which is probably the best example, the one that sort of Apple was reluctant to really embrace. And there was a lot of criticism about the big, you know, phablet. And
right.
it ended up being, you know, sort of a deal breaker for a lot of people. And it ended up spurring one of the biggest sales of iPhones in the company's history, right, was when they moved to the big screen. So that was one which Samsung was first. Curved display, this edge-to-edge screen. You know, these are areas where Samsung has been out ahead. You know, and that's the innovation that the mobile chief was talking about. Don't hold back. Whereas Apple has always maintained, we don't have to be first. We just have to be best.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen that time and time again over the company's history. It's very rare that they're first to market with something, right? And not the smart speaker is the most recent example. You know, the iPhone itself certainly was a unique product and the first to combine all those features. But, you know, the iPod wasn't the first music player. The iPhone certainly wasn't the first smartphone, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The iPad wasn't the first tablet, on and on. So in that sense, Apple's been reserved. I won't call them conservative, but they certainly have been reserved and they don't have disciplined, I guess is a better word. And they don't have to be first. They just need to be best. And so that's sort of a difference in the two companies. And I think that's where DJ Co was really kind of saying, like, this is what we're known for. And we have to be cutting edge. And it's important for the company because it really is just a hungry hippo, you know, land grab for market share. And, you know, among high-end smartphones, Samsung's share overall is falling and Apple's is rising. And there are analysts that don't see that turning around. And the reason why is, you know, I mean, Apple's a luxury product and it's always claimed that high end. And so it's super important for Samsung to try to get new users. And that's the goal with the Note 8. The Note 8 isn't just to tell, you know, existing Note fans it's going to be okay. You know, they really want to grab new users, which is why they want to be cutting edge with their products.
Absolutely. I feel like we're just on the brink of hearing more from Apple. So I feel like we need to pause this conversation.
I imagine we'll be talking again,
weeks.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm anxious to pick it up. But in the meantime, Brian, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, Tanya.
For more on the journal's coverage of the Samsung Galaxy Note 8, you can head to wsj.com/tech. This has been the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.